Atlantis has suffered heat tile damage, the Mars rover Spirit is spinning its wheels, and a commercial liquid rocket developer celebrates a milestone. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, May 14th, 2009. The crew of the space shuttle Atlantis got the school bus-sized Hubble Space Telescope secured in the shuttle's cargo bay yesterday, ready for repairs and upgrades that will allow the orbiting observatory to continue in operation at least another 5 years. At the same time, engineers are going over photos which show a 21-inch stretch of dings in the shuttle's heat shield tiles. So far, official word is they're not a concern, but there's no longer any such thing as an insignificant anomaly in a shuttle heat shield. The shuttle Endeavour sits ready on Launch Pad 39B at Kennedy Space Center should there be any need to send a lifeboat to the crew of Atlantis. Aside from any concerns about heat shield integrity, the 350-mile-high orbit needed to reach Hubble puts Atlantis at increased risk of collisions with space debris, and the Hubble itself offers no quarters to shield the crew should evacuation be needed. In what will quickly disappear in the archives as trivia, astronaut Mike Massimino has become the first human to tweet from space, keeping followers up to date with a message relayed through the Johnson Space Center to his Twitter account. Quote, "From orbit, launch was awesome. I'm feeling great, working hard, and enjoying the magnificent views. The adventure of a lifetime has begun." Unquote. With attention focused elsewhere, the Mars rover's Spirit and Opportunity just keep on going. Now 5 years past their original 3-month life expectancy. Sadly, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory reports that Spirit may be about to succumb to a problem familiar to earthbound ATV riders. It's stuck after spinning its wheels in soft Martian dirt. JPL's John Callis says that even with its remaining limited mobility, all is not lost. Quote, "We are proceeding methodically and cautiously. It may be weeks before we try moving Spirit again. Meanwhile, we're using Spirit's scientific instruments to learn more about the physical properties of the soil that's giving us trouble," unquote. Program managers say Spirit's recent bouts with amnesia, spontaneous reboots, and failure to come online for communication sessions appear to have passed, even though the cause was never diagnosed, and wind has recently blown the rover's solar panels clean, improving the power budgeting. Back on Earth, the commercial spaceflight industry has taken another baby step. Masten Space Systems reports completion of its first vertical takeoff, vertical landing rocket flight demonstration. The design and controls of its 730-pound rocket-powered vehicle reportedly functioned as planned during a tethered flight a few meters above the ground, involving a takeoff and a landing. Masten's vehicle uses a liquid-fueled rocket of the company's own design, running on isopropyl alcohol and liquid oxygen. CEO David Masten promises, quote, "Larger vehicles, using the same technologies tested here, will be capable of taking a 220-pound payload to 75 miles and be reused without requiring lengthy refurbishment," unquote. The vehicle is officially known as XA-0.1B-750. Within the company, they call it Zombie, spelled with an X. Up next on ANN, Jack Pelton urges a longer perspective. Cessna says the CJ4 is on track for certification this year. And Spain's Valencia Airport is chosen for a new jet service center. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 for Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 14th. I'm Paul Plack. There's more news today from this week's EBACE, the European Business Aviation Convention and Exhibition in Geneva, Switzerland. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton opened the event with a talk in which he encouraged the industry to keep its perspective through the recession. Quote, "Rather than focus on what we aren't producing, Cessnans have chosen to focus on what we are producing. It's true that we will not produce at the levels anticipated a year ago, but we are going to deliver about 300 citations in 2009, slightly fewer than in 2010, and these are numbers that in years past would have been cause for celebration. We have an 80-year tradition, we have a loyal customer base, and while we have lost many good employees since November, we still have some of the industry's top people making up the Cessna family," unquote. The show opened on Tuesday and officially closes tonight. The economy notwithstanding, development of new business aircraft continues. Cessna says its Citation CJ-4 will be ready to receive its FAA type certificate later this year. Three test aircraft have accumulated more than 760 flight test hours. The CJ-4 can be configured for 7 or 8 passengers in the main cabin. The plane is expected to have a top speed of 435 knots, a full fuel payload of 1,000 pounds, and will be certified for operations up to flight level 450. Program manager Norm Baker notes, quote, "Production line flow has started with production units 003, 4, 5, and 6 in various stages of assembly," unquote. Cessna also announced it will build its new European Citation Service Center at Valencia Airport in Spain. Cessna Senior VP Mark Pellucci commented, quote, "With over 1,000 citations operating in Europe and more on the way, the new facility in Spain will be an excellent complementary location for our Paris service center. Valencia Airport site was chosen because its location is convenient to destinations popular with many of our European operators. There is limited maintenance capability in the area, and because we continue to see an increase in the number of citations being based in North Africa. In addition, we have had good cooperation with local authorities, and there is an available qualified workforce," unquote. The Valencia Citation Service Center will offer about 64,000 square feet of hangar space, plus administration and other office space, which will eventually gain an additional second floor. Also at EBACE, Avadyne and WSI announced a partnership that will bring the latter's in-flight weather service to many industry-standard electronic flight bags through the use of Avadyne's MLX 770 and 780 Iridium-based data link transceivers. WSI service has already been available in the U.S. through Sirius broadcast satellites, but the Iridium-based delivery makes the service available worldwide. Still ahead, Aero LEDs announces a new lighting option for experimentals. Pistons are alive and well at EBACE. And why is everybody driving cars this year? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, May 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The Dornier 228NG, an update on the original 228, is moving toward production, and manufacturer RUAG Aerospace has promised a modern glass panel. There's been no official announcement of just what that panel will be, but at EBACE, L3 Avionics announced that its GH3100 electronic standby instrument system has been chosen to back up the main system. The GH3100 replaces typical steam gauge backup instruments with a single 3-inch flat panel display. It includes its own air data computer to completely eliminate the role of mechanical gyros in instruments with moving parts. Because the display can be configured for a look similar to the main system it augments, L3 VP Larry Riddle calls the resulting transition, should a pilot need to make it in flight, seamless. The Dornier 228NG is a 19-passenger STOL turboprop intended for regional transport, coastal, environmental, and border control markets. Aero LEDs has introduced a new navigation, position, and strobe lighting system for aircraft that eliminates the separate power supply required by the strobes in older designs. The Pulsar EXP system is all LED, targeted at builders of experimentals and boasts zero maintenance for 50,000 hours. The system uses up to 80% less power than incandescent nav lights and gas tube strobes, weighs only 10 ounces per pair, and offers lower aerodynamic drag. The company says the new system, which is listed on its website with an MSRP of about $850, can also be retrofitted in place of existing, older systems. Hawker Beechcraft is standing out at eBase this year by delivering updated piston aircraft amid all the kerosene burners. HBC took advantage of the event to deliver three new G36 Bonanzas to a customer in the UK and a G58 Baron to a customer in Poland. All of them featured Garmin G1000 panels with GFC 700 autopilots. The Baron also has GWX 68 color weather radar. And finally, the upcoming Memorial Day holiday weekend in the U.S. marks the start of the official summer vacation travel season. While the economy has the airlines projecting even lower demand for their seats, the American Automobile Association estimates that overall vacation travel for the holiday weekend will be up this year by 1.5%, and the vast majority of vacationers will choose to go by car. There are a number of possible reasons, not the least of which is gasoline prices, which are well below this time last year. The swine flu hype appears to be turning into a yawn, and many normally crowded vacation destinations have been aggressively cutting room rates to make sure they stay full. Still, it's interesting to note that airline tickets are also cheaper than they were this time last year, and are almost always cheaper than driving if you're traveling over a few hundred miles. Could it be that we're just tired of standing in long lines, getting frisked by strangers or full body scanned, and spending the following week with only 3 ounces of shampoo? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Dee Whittington talks about the changes at this year's Virginia Regional Festival of Flight, May 30th and 31st. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.